listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today on this first Sunday of Advent, we are looking at Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, this is a beautiful season, a season of lights, a season of joy, a season of hope. And so, Lord, may we feel your hope here today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm a fan of science fiction. I'm a fan of cheesy science fiction. Have you ever seen one of those cheesy sci-fi movies? You know, the movie's called like Avalanche Shark or Comet from Space or Windstorm. Just really, you can tell in the names of them, they're not going to be stellar movies. You know, they're a bunch of low-paid actors with really small budget movies. And they tell of some sort of impending doom that is coming to the earth. The funniest part of the movies is listening to the really badly written dialogue and also the really bad special effects. One of the reasons I like to watch these movies is because they are bad movies, and they know it. They know that they're really bad, and they milk it for all it's worth. But at the end of a week, of maybe a busy week, it's good just to sit down in front of some bad television and be entertained for a while, right? To relax and just take your mind off all that's going on in the world. It is a fun distraction. It's even more fun that while you're watching the movies, you start to come up with your own plot lines. Like, I was watching some of the Sharknado movies, and you know, that's the ones where the tornado sucks up all the sharks and they attack cities. And so it's fun to watch like movies like that, and you come up, well, I could come up with like Squirrel Kano, Squirrel Quake, you know, all kinds of great movies. Plot lines, right? If only I had time to sit down and write them. Maybe I need to talk to the board about taking a sabbatical, because 3 months might be enough time to write these movies. But you never know. What do you think? One of the problems is, though, is that usually on the weekends, like Saturday night, usually around 10 o'clock they come on. And so it seems like most nights I'm doing good to stay up later than the kids. And especially now that they're getting older. And so sitting down to watch a movie at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, knowing I've got to get up early Sunday morning to get here, I don't get to see a lot of the end of these movies, unfortunately. You know, it can be a challenge living in the Atlantic time zone, despite the fact we live on what is named every year one of the best and most beautiful islands in the world. Our TV sucks. Because it comes on too late. And even if I want to record it and watch it after the kids have gone to bed, it still makes no point because I still have to stay up too late to watch something. So it just gets too late. So I just can't stay up late anymore. My body just feels like it's crying out for sleep at times. And you know that feeling. And you know when you have that feeling, you've got to pay attention. You've got to get your rest. And don't judge me either, because I know you all have your vices too. You all like to sit down and watch some kind of crazy television. Trust me, I know. But when we're tired, our bodies, they just don't function the same. They don't work quite as well. Our brains slow down. We can't find the words we're looking for. We feel clumsy. We feel sluggish. You know, we forget things. And we're not the most productive, that's for sure. We might even miss out on some important things in life because we're too tired. And now that we're beginning the season of Advent, we're into December now, we have 4 weeks of waiting and watching ahead of us. Well, actually, Christmas is on a Monday. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. We actually only have 3 weeks left. Not to panic any of you, but 3 weeks until the big night for us. So 3 weeks to get in the parties, the food, the shopping, the wrapping, the opening, the sharing, the singing, the laughing, the working, the planning, and so on and so on and so on. It's a busy 3 weeks, for sure. Now, I don't know about you. I'm guessing a number of you experience this, but isn't there a time when you just can't wait for it all to be over? You know, sometimes you just long for those moments after the presents are opened, and you sit there in your pajamas with a hot cup of tea, just eating chocolates, and watching cheesy Christmas movies, which aren't as good as cheesy science fiction, though. At some point, you just get exhausted, and you just can't wait for it all to be over. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the celebration part. That's important. We need to get together with our loved ones, our families, and celebrate one another's company and enjoy being with each other. It just gets tiring after a while, especially if you're an introvert and just really crave that alone time. So it's finding a balance. And part of this month, as Christians, we need to find time to focus on what we've come to call the reason for the season, which is, of course, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as we're jumping into Advent here today, we're jumping into a bit of a strange time of the gospel. We're jumped into Mark 13, which is late in Jesus' life. He's already entered Jerusalem for the final time. This comes after what we call Palm Sunday now. It's in his last week of his life. He's in there and he's teaching people still. He's dealing with the authorities who are trying to figure out how to kill him and trap him. So he's got a lot going on. And Jesus, in his reading today, in our reading today, is talking about his return. Now, he's not talking about his resurrection. He's talking about after he goes back to heaven and then returns to the earth, which, of course, we're still waiting for. Now, when we read through that couple of verses from Mark 13, we should feel a bit of an echo, because it kind of reflects back to his birth in a way. In verses 24 to 27, Jesus says, when he returns again, the world will be in suffering. It will be in darkness. And it's into this darkness he will return with power and with glory. The world Jesus is born into is a world of suffering. They're under an oppressive government, and it just feels dark. And one could also argue that when Jesus is born, he comes in power and in glory, although not in the way the world would define it. We certainly don't see necessarily the birth of a child as being a time of power and glory. Yet the circumstances around the birth of Jesus point to the power from which he comes and with which he comes. Jesus is born to a virgin, and she's told she's going to have a child by angels. That's power. His first guests are humble shepherds. How do they find out? They find out by the cloud of angels who are singing in glory with power. The wise men come from afar, and they're led by a star. They're led by power. That's what comes to mind to me when I reflect on those couple of verses of Mark in relation to the start of Advent. When Jesus says, then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Jesus, even in his birth, is bringing people from all places, from all corners of the world. But more than that, he does not discriminate where they come from. The wise men are foreigners. The shepherds are unclean and generally just unwanted. Yet they appear at the birth of a king, the king of the world, God's own son. As Jesus prepares for his coming death, He talks to those who are around him, tells them, keep awake, keep watch. Watch for signs. Even in the darkness, there will be signs of hope. He compares this with a fig tree. And to put this into a Canadian context, a present-day context, let's think of the month of April. Hopefully, all the snow is melted. There's no leaves anywhere. Our lawns are brown and muddy. The trees look sickly and just dead. Our world looks dead at that time of year, doesn't it? Nothing is growing. Everything is brown. Everything is lifeless. Yet think about what happens throughout April. The days get longer. The days get warmer. We begin to get rain showers. And sure enough, by the end of the month, there are little signs that begin to emerge. The world is not dead. You look at the trees and the buds are just starting to emerge from the ends of the branches. Summer is coming. Hallelujah. This is the hope Jesus is trying to get us to engage in. Yes, there may be times when it seems helpless and hopeless and death is all around us, but there is hope. There are signs of life out there. Maybe sometimes we do need to look a little bit harder in order to see them. He also tells us that when we see them, he's already on the move. Things are happening. It's easy to look at our newspapers these days and feel hopelessness. Even in our local news, you pick up the Post and you can feel hopelessness. We read about teenagers, children, being arrested because of acts of mischief, setting off flares in stores and schools. We read about fights and murders around the drug trade. Not to mention the other drug-related deaths we have here in Cape Breton. How many do we have? I personally don't want to know the number. I know that I've done a number of funerals for drug-related deaths, and one is too many. I have young people in their 20s tell me that they know more of their peers who have died due to drugs than old people. That tells us we have a problem. A serious problem. And then we read the statistics around child poverty, addiction, homelessness. Makes you wonder, why do we even bother? But then here's Jesus telling us, look for signs of hope. Look at things like the Hope Project, which is going to launch a women's home in the new year, a women's recovery home. This is a home being built by young Christians who belong to the Journey Church. They're spearheading it with some help from Grace Fellowship. To try to help these women get back on their feet, to break the cycle of addiction and poverty in our families. We can look at Faith Baptist in Sydney, who now has Tuesday morning cafes where people can come into the church and have access to professionals, people in the financial professions, mental health, social workers. They're coming in and they have free access to these people on Tuesday mornings, people who need it in the Ashby area and probably beyond, no doubt. We look at a church, the House of Healing in Dominion, that every Friday night they open up their doors for a community dinner where people can come in and have a hot meal if they need it, or just to come and share and fellowship together. And if they're in need, there's clothing available and food, a food bank for them to take things home. There are signs of hope all over Cape Breton, and these are just a few of them in the last few weeks that have been in the paper. They just happen to be church-related as well. Because these people who are doing these things are following God's call in their lives. They feel that they are called to love and serve as Jesus has loved and served them. These are signs of a greater movement. These are signs God is on the move here in Cape Breton. Signs that God is up to something big and he's just getting started. I believe this. I see the signs. I hear the stories from other churches and from people I talk to. And I hope you hear them too, because God is on the move. Just think back to just over a week ago, we had an Alpha training session here at Grace Fellowship Church. 25 people from various churches in this town. Almost every church was represented. And we came together and we learned about Alpha. We learned what it can do, how it works. And we learned that, hey, we can do this together, churches. And everyone seemed to be excited about this possibility that all of our churches can work together to make this happen. So as we come out of the training, we're in prayer. Because to take the next step, we need someone to step up and say, okay, I can coordinate it. I can be the leader on this. That we can bring our churches together to offer a great ministry to the people of Sydney Mines. Signs, signs, everywhere a sign. From Alpha to Church Renewal to Curcio, there are many opportunities for us to work together as churches and as Christians to grow in our own faith and to share this faith with others. This is how God's love spreads. This is how the hope spreads. This is how we get our hope. So as you go about your week, just ask God a question every morning. Just say, God, show me your work. Give me hope today. Show me signs of hope where you are working in our communities. And we can find answers to this prayer in many different places. We can find it in the news. We could find it in the conversations we're having with coworkers or friends. We could even find these signs of hope as we're walking down the aisle doing our shopping. There are signs of hope all around us. God is at work all over the place. But we need to be alert. We need to be, as Jesus says, keep awake and watch for the signs. Now it's true, we have no idea when Jesus will return. He gives us some hints, but we can't really figure it out. Because there have been people for decades or even longer saying Jesus will return on such and such day. Those days, they come and they go just like every other day. Nothing changes. So in the meantime, we just sit and we wait and we watch for signs of hope. Hope that God is on the move in places where hope is needed. And the signs are there. We have abundant reason to live in hope. Even if we have nothing more than the promises he makes to us in Scripture. That alone should be enough for us as Christians. To know God's promise is a life of hope. But yet we have more. We have more signs of hope around us. To me, that's enough to get me through the day. And I hope it is for you in this season of hope. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the hope you instill in us with your word, your promise to return with power and glory to call us God's children home. We ask you, Jesus, to show us the signs of hope, the hope of your Father's work in the world as we wait. As we see those signs, may you speak to our hearts how we too can share hope in a world of suffering. May we be bold to share the hope you share with us through your words. Lord, may you be our strength, may you be our guide, and may we see the signs of hope all around us in this season of waiting we call Advent, this season which leads us to your birth as God's gift to this world. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.